Hey, Liz.
Hey.
Sup?
How's it going?
Good. I don't know why I feel like saying that word a lot lately. Like, sup? I'm too old. Am I too old to say that? Probably.
I think it's too old.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I don't think that's a thing.
Is dope still a thing? Because, like, this episode's going to be dope.
Okay, first of all, no.
That's not where dope
is. And second, I think it is. Yeah, no, thank you. You're trying new things, and I applaud you for that, but that's... It's not it.
Welcome to today's episode of Behind the Signs. It's our pleasure to be here with you. So today we have an exciting episode, Liz. Why don't you talk about
it? A little different.
It is a little bit different,
but we thought we'd close out the year with a weird little bang. I don't know. So we're having a panel today. It's Tammy Napolitano and Kevin McBroom. Joe can talk a little bit about their companies, and they're going to talk a little bit about their companies and tell you all that they do. But this panel's a little different in that Joe kind of interviews sort of the three of us to talk about kind of year end in the shops and what we're looking forward to in 2026 and things that have helped us grow in 2025 and goals for 2026. So it's a good way to close out the year. I think it's a good one.
Yeah. And there is just a lot of wisdom that's shared there. And especially the questions kind of came from the group, right? So a lot of people struggle with like, how do I close the year out strong with questions like, how do I motivate my team or how do I get better customers or when is it appropriate to say no? So there's a lot of really good things.
Always.
And then, you know,
my favorite word.
Things to look at for 2026. So anyway, this episode's super informative, a lot of wisdom that's shared. So I hope that it is really helpful to folks as they listen to it. First of all, I want to thank our good friends at Inktavo. None of this would be possible without their support and their help. So thank you. And one thing, you know, if you aren't familiar with Inktavo as a company, they are more like partners to sign shops, print shops, garment shops, promotional product shops. And they provide tools for project management like Sign Tracker and Clarity for our friends in the UK, Order My Gear and Printavo and Inksoft and Graphics Flow. Oh my gosh, it's growing. But the thing I think about the tools that they provide, those are the tools they provide. But what else they provide is the support and the people that you call, so many of them have come out of the industry and they really have a good grasp on what you're needing to run your shops. So anyway, go to inktavo.com to learn more. And that's all I get to say about that.
And then as always, we like to thank our friends at Sign Builder Illustrated. Be sure to check out our column, our monthly column in the magazine, Behind the Signs column. We usually dive a little deeper into the topics that we're talking about on the podcast. So it's always good to check that out. You can do that at
signshop.com. Yeah.
And then as always, thanks to you guys for listening. I literally would not do this if you didn't listen to it. I mean, I love hanging out with you, but I'd probably find other things to hang out with you.
We do love our Behind the Signs community on Facebook. It's special. So anyway, well, Liz, without further ado, let's jump into this episode.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoy.
See you on the flip side. Okay, so today we are going to do things a little bit different. We have called some of our favorite sign shop owners to talk about year end, closing out the year strong, and thinking about 2026. And in the Behind the Signs community, you know, we get questions every time somebody basically signs up. And it happens over and over again where we get like the basic business questions, right? Like, how do I better organize my shop? What software should I use to, you know, run my production? How do I find better employees? How do I get better clients? That comes in all the time. So we put together a list of questions, and you guys sent back the ones that you felt were, that you wanted to talk about. So we'll do that. But before we do, Liz.
As you know, today we have with us Tammy Napolitano and Kevin McBroom, and we're going to let them tell you a little bit about themselves first. So Tammy, why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
Okay. Well, hi, everybody. I'm Tammy Napolitano. I'm the owner of Awesome Graphics. We are a sign shop based out of Vermont and growing in Florida and some other areas as well. And been in business about 31 years now. And we do a lot of signage, vehicle wraps, apparel, all kinds of stuff. So happy to be here. I also own Freedom Solutions, which is a consulting business that to the sign industry, specifically helping people set up Sign Tracker and work on systems and help business owners try to free up some of their time and achieve work-life balance.
Awesome. We're so happy to have you, Tammy. I know we've had you on before, and if you guys have time, check out the episode with Tammy. She talks a lot about Freedom Solutions and kind of just setting up a sign shop and what you need to do. But a first-time guest we have today is Kevin. Kevin, tell us a little bit about
Actually, Liz, I'm gonna correct you. Kevin spent Kevin. This was pre-Liz. This is pre-Liz, when though. This is when behind
Which is
this
when it didn't count.
No, that's true. That's true. This is the real podcast. But I would say back in, you know, when we first started Behind the Signs podcast, it was just me and I was learning, which I'm still doing. But Kevin was one of our very, very, very first guests. And that episode actually is still living on our YouTube channel. So if you get a chance to check it out. But Kevin, say hello.
I'm Kevin McBroom. My company is Martin Signs. We're in Tennessee. And we've been in business about 38 years now, I guess. And I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur, you know, stick my thumb in too many things, it seems like. But yeah, we're a small shop. We've got, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 employees. We just kind of keep it that way on purpose, but that's a whole nother story. And just glad to be here.
Awesome. We're so happy to have you, Kevin.
And Tammy, you guys are, you know, if I think about the sign people that are on my, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, but I am currently sharing space with 3 of my favorite sign people on the planet. Obviously, Liz is my daughter, so that's by default. But Kevin and Tammy, you guys are awesome. You guys have, you guys have had some serious staying power. So I'm sure you've gone, in the industry, so I'm sure you've gone over every possible, you know, bump in the road that you can. And so it, you know, it's interesting, like I was saying earlier, how many questions come up in the Behind the Signs community. And, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody this morning too. And there are sign shops, obviously you guys are 2 examples that have, you know, have sustained a healthy business through all the ups and downs, and you're still 30 plus years later, both still in business. But I, you know, I think about the shops like, you know, Liz, you obviously, your shop's very successful and you've developed a great niche in the industry. And then my shop was pretty big, but a lot of sign shops are small, right? They really small where they have, it, you know, 1 or 2 employees and they're owner operators and they're struggling to figure out how to scale and how to grow and how to have a balanced life while making enough in the industry to live and support their family. So, some of the questions that have come in over this, you know, past year are on this list. So I sent you guys a list of questions. No way in the world we could get through all of them because I think there were like, I don't know, like 30. And they were broken down by category, right? Like year end questions. So some of you, it's funny that some of the questions all 3 of you picked. And then some of them just, you know, were brave enough to just pick 1 or 2. So I don't know if we can get through this whole list. We pared it down to about 10 questions, but, let's go ahead and get started. So, Liz, do you want to jump on the first one?
I'll kick it off. And this one, Kevin, you are the only person that chose a question out of the year-end questions category. Including myself, I avoided that category like the plague. But the question you chose was, what is one thing that you improved this year?
Okay, good deal. So just to explain it, because it may be a little bit difficult for the average sign shop guy to understand this, because my role is a little bit different. Tammy and I are similar in this, in that we both live in Florida, but our companies are in another state. And so for, you know, 15 years now, I've been down here, and the only thing that I really do for my shop on an active basis, on a daily basis, is I do the scheduling. You know, I tried to pull out of that at one point, and I learned that, you know, my guys only got about half done what I really was hoping they would get done unless I did the scheduling and kind of held them accountable. So I do, when I say I do the scheduling, I do everything. I even decide who's quoting what, and put that on a task list for them, as well as production and installation. And so one of the things that I did, and I'm not sure if it was this year or maybe if it, you know, started at the end of last year, was I took over kind of a pre-qualifying of customers and jobs. And I did that mainly because we had a lot of national sign companies that were coming in, and they would just get tasked immediately to a salesperson. And the salesperson would look at this and spend sometimes a lot of time on a quote. And it was sometimes not a good quote for us to even be working on, if that makes sense. Because like maybe they don't even have the job, and they're just trying to spitball and try to sell this job. And they just need a number from us. They don't necessarily need us to nail anything down. Or we've got a construction company that calls and they're quoting something, and this job doesn't even get awarded for 6 months, you know, and then it was going to be built 2 or 3 years later, you know, that the signs would be ready to go up. And so I started stepping in and kind of pre-qualifying for to make sure that they lined up as far as our terms, because a lot of national sign companies want 45 or 60 days. And I'm kind of this grumpy old man, stay off of my grass kind of guy when it comes to that. And I'm like, no, you know, our job is not really to finance national sign companies by giving them 60 day terms. We do 30 day terms and we expect a deposit. And sometimes it doesn't line up that way, you know, and we don't have a relationship because of that. And that's good. My employees would never do that. You know, they would never say, hey, we're not interested in doing business with you. And so it allows me to be able to do that. So I've probably eliminated about half of those type of quotes where I'm able to just spitball real quick and say, here's a number you can work with. You know, go bid that job, go sell it, and then come back and we'll help you. Or I've said, sorry, you know, we can't get this back to you in 48 hours. You know, we got too many other bids going on right now, and you've not even really got this job yet. And so it's really helped that way to streamline how long it takes for us to turn around quotes, because sometimes my guys were just getting buried, you know?
Yeah. That's a scary thing that comes up a lot in the community too. Like that whole thing about saying no is an important step in growth a lot of times. And I think a lot of sign shop owners make that mistake. I did, for sure. Said yes to everything in the beginning days, especially, you know, and when you're a little panicky about making payroll or, you know, covering the rent or whatever, it's hard to say no. But ultimately, if you can get to a point, especially after you have at least some consistency in orders from like a good, strong customer base, to be able to say no.
And another thing that I was able to do, some clients, some customers, especially like construction companies, where we'll have $10,000, $15,000 tied up in materials and they don't want to pay a deposit at all. I've said, how can we get creative and still have this relationship? And they don't realize it, but we bid them 20% higher than we bid everybody else. And just say, I'm willing to take that risk for an extra 20%. Right. And so, you know, it allows me to have that creativity in that input initially that my employees would never. You know, they would have to come to me and get permission and that kind of thing.
Well, plus, especially I can see that where, I mean, you're kind of living the dream, right? Like you're living in Florida, managing your business. Both of you are, Elizabeth, are you living your dream?
No.
But you guys are both living in Florida, managing a business remotely, which means what you are, you know, doing, Kevin, probably makes it possible, because if you're saying yes to everyone, it just creates chaos. And so that's some really good advice. Okay. So let's jump to the next category, planning for 2026. So Liz, you did not jump on a single one of those. Are you saying like,
nah,
screw 2026 at this point? I'm still trying to finish 2025.
You know, no, not necessarily. I just don't do as well. I don't do as well voicing my goals for the new year. I'm superstitious in that way. I like to keep it to myself. Generally, all joking aside, general goals is to come out of 2025, you know, profitable, and make sure that you're going into 2026 with a good cost profit margin. 2025 for us I think it's, you know, it hit everyone a little hard, but in Texas, it hit us especially hard. The economy definitely took a hit this year where we are, the construction economy did. Between tariffs and, unfortunately, deportations, we did take a hit because that's a lot of our workforce here, because of how close we are to the border. So, we definitely took a bit of a hit in work this year, and then tariffs for a while. You know, we work a lot, we work with a lot of very high-end partners. So, some of what we do comes out of other countries. And then not just what we're doing, but some of the construction, like we had a client that was a high-end resort that was ordering their, like they were prefabbed resort rooms from somewhere in Europe. I don't remember the exact country, but, they were ordering these prefabbed rooms and they paid for them. And when they got here, there was an additional tariff of $30,000 that they weren't budgeting for. And then 3 days later, after paying the tariff, they received their room and that tariff got lifted. So they basically flushed their sign budget down the drain, you know? So it's just the snowball effect of what happened this year. But we bounce, we run very lean and very mean, similar to you, Kevin. We have a 7-person team, so we are very lean, and we keep it that way on purpose. So I think for 2026 is just continue to stay strong and have a strong team and maintain our profit margin and, you know, bounce back from this year. That was a little more surprising than normal election years.
All right. So you shared more than you said you would. Let's take it.
There you go. Yeah.
We'll take it. All right. So the next one was for, all right. Well, again, planning for 2026. Kevin and Tammy, you both picked a couple of questions there. So I'm going to start, Tammy, with you. What's the first thing you plan to fix, streamline, or upgrade in the new year?
Couple things. One of the things I've been working on is staff. I have a really great core group of people that have been with me for a very long time. A lot of the newer hires, I've been seeing more turnover than I like, you know, so there's definitely been a lot of in and out, revolving door. So I'm working on that, just getting like those people really up and trained and running so that I really want to start for the first time actually doing a really pushed marketing initiative. And I haven't really done that ever. You know, I've always done like, you know, it's all been word of mouth growth and which has been great, but, I want to do some social stuff, some, you know, continue with like e-newsletters and then really just work on some strategic marketing. But I don't want to get ahead of this, of the fact that I need to be completely staffed and everybody trained. So, you know, I'm going to be working on that in the beginning of the year for sure. Just making sure we have the right amount of people for what we need.
Not that you want to give away all your trade secrets, but do you have a particular place where you sort of go fishing for new employees? Like, do you ask current employees if they can recommend somebody? How do you go about hiring or finding people? And do you necessarily focus on people, in the sign industry or?
No. And it's funny. I have a funny story quickly about that. I usually do Indeed ads and we'll do like definitely we'll scope people out in our area if we need people locally. Just looking for good, you know, you can tell when people can, you know, good work ethic and they can talk, shake your hand, you know, that kind of stuff. Cause anybody, you can train anybody, but you want somebody that has that kind of character, you know, but anyway. Yeah. So it was funny. I was here in Florida and we needed a full-time estimator really bad because my management team was estimating constantly. They were doing it on the weekends. They just couldn't keep up, speaking of estimating. And so I was here and I had met, I belong to a marketing group here, you know, BNI. And I was in one of the groups and one of my friends had brought her son there. And, you know, he shook my hand, really nice kid, and looked me in the eyes and, you know, just was there as a visitor. And so I was sitting on my couch one day and I couldn't find anybody like that fit that estimating role. Right. And he just popped into my mind and I called her and he was here in Florida. And I said, is your son looking for any kind of work? What does he do? And she's like, he just got out of college, but it was all through COVID and he's looking for a career move. And I said, how does he feel about Vermont? So he had never been to Vermont. He came here that afternoon. We talked, I talked to my manager. He talked to my manager, my GM, and I hired him and he now rents my apartment there and lives above my buildings. Like, so, and has been a full-time estimator for over a year now, and he is doing fantastic. So that was funny, hiring somebody in Florida to move to Vermont, but that was an out of the box move, but I had to think outside of the box. I'm like, something, I've got to find somebody for this, you know? So that was a funny one.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And I imagine you have a really large pool of like Ben and Jerry ice cream workers in Vermont that you can pull from too.
Sometimes. No? Sometimes, yes.
The skills, sure. The ice cream scooper skills don't translate very well. I don't know.
They can. Yeah, they can. I've got a good group for sure.
That's great. Well, that's good. Well, Kevin, so you said you jumped in on this section too. So what's one goal for 2026 that would make the biggest difference in your shop, do you think, that you have?
I'm glad you didn't ask me where I go fishing, because I don't tell people that. That is a secret.
So your employees don't find you?
No. Just because I don't want anybody else to find my fish.
I see.
Let's see. So what I put down, and I really didn't have to think about this a lot, because I don't really have these type of goals. You know, when you've been in business this long, every goal just kind of seems generic, broad brush, to be honest with you. But with AI kind of coming to the forefront, and the fact that, you know, I'm an old fart who kind of missed the computer gap. You know, when I went to college, we had 9 rainbow computers on the entire college campus. You know, that was our computer center. And but with the AI stuff, I kind of get it, and it's making it a little bit easier for me to get. And so I've started working on an integration that will have more memory than what you typically get when you're just doing some kind of AI inquiries. And there's different types of, for us, apps that we can buy, add-ons that will give us the memory that we need to hopefully do some real-time tracking for material pricing, because that's been a butt kicker for us this year. And then also I want to see if I can use it to track my actual labor on production and installations. And then as well, I was hoping to, I was going to beat him up live if we had somebody here from Inktavo, like I thought we might. But yeah, I plan on talking to SignTracker, because I think it would really be helpful if we have somebody come to our website and they, you know, hit the request for quote button. And if we could have something that automatically puts that into the unassigned column for SignTracker, and then sends back an email that says, "Hey, we've gotten your information. You're in the list of people that we will be contacting tomorrow," and that kind of thing. I think that would really be helpful.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and they are working on SignTracker and all their products, and they actually are doing a big AI initiative too. So that's a little above my pay grade. I mean, I do listen to a lot in meetings and stuff, but anyway. Okay. So the next question in this section, and this requires like a little vulnerability, and you've already shared a little bit, Tammy. And Liz, you're going to take the whole next section, which, by the way, you picked 2 questions out of that. But this one takes a little vulnerability, you know, in a way, because you're kind of sharing like what, you know, what part of your business do you feel needs the most attention? And it's not that you've necessarily dropped the ball in this area, but what do you guys feel? We'll start with you, Tammy.
Post staffing, you know, after like getting some of these staff members up and ready, what I really want to focus on that I think could use some attention is just kind of the flow of my shop, because I have 2 commercial buildings that are side by side and they're occupied all by Awesome Graphics. And so I really want to work on the way the jobs flow through the place, you know, and work on that and maybe rearrange some of the, you know, the front end where people are coming in the showroom, but then also the way production goes, just to make a more cohesive flow and cut down on waste and time and, you know, make it smoother process.
Yeah. That's good. We did a lot of that at our shop. That's for sure. We were always kind of tweaking with that. And we had several different departments. We also had 60,000 square feet under one roof. So that made it a little bit easier. Yeah. Was it though? I don't know. I got my steps in when I walked around the shop. That's for sure.
Right? I bet.
Well, Kevin, what about you? What do you feel like is an area that needs the most attention?
Profit margins, without a doubt. So our fiscal year ends October 31. So all the numbers are real raw and new for us. And I just you know, so just got it and just kind of went through all of this. And we did 9% profit margins. And my target is usually net profit of 15. And so, you know, that's a big deal. And so we just had our year end annual meeting with the employees that I do every October or every November. And we went through these things, you know, and I just listed them out here, you know, because we can, it's real easy to say we're going to raise our prices to increase our profit margins, but that doesn't necessarily translate the way you like it sometimes, because you can lose jobs, lose customers, that sort of thing, depending on your competition. So, but I put down, we're going to seriously look at increasing our labor rates. We've not done that since just right after, you know, the years of the virus being so intense. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to do a better job of keeping up with our material pricing increases and improving our purchasing practices, where we might buy in volume and then, you know, still charge our customers. You know, we're stocking that inventory, so we're taking the risk of having that inventory. We don't pass that savings along to our customer, you know, when we make those kind of purchases. Avoid rework, avoid waste. Pricing on perceived value. My estimators, my salespeople, don't really do a good job of that. They don't look at a job and go, you know, this should be a $2,000 job. It's coming up at $1,900. And when it's real easy to go, yeah, this should be a $2,000 job, price it as a $2,000 job and make an extra 5%, you know, and make up for some of the mistakes that we've made on other jobs and that kind of thing. Let's see. Charging more for our unpredictable jobs. I've got a saying at our shop, predictable is profitable. And so when we do something that's unpredictable and we've never done it before, you know, we do a CYA and making sure that we're covering all of our bases. A big one is employee and customer retention. You know, it's amazing how expensive it is to have to replace an employee. And then the last one is maintaining our vehicles and equipment. You know, there's nothing that'll mess up your production more than, you know, a printer going down or a crane going down or something like that. And all of a sudden you're like 2-3 weeks, you know, of no production and having to sub stuff out and pay extra money to rent cranes and things like that. So,
yeah. Those are all good things for sure. One thing that we did at our shop, when it comes to materials, especially because we were growing, you know, we were growing quite a bit every year. So we had the shop, the big shop for 11 years. And then we, you know, when we sold it, we were doing a little under 11 million. So we were growing at, you know, if you averaged it out, about $1 million a year, but we would look at what was the percentage of, you know, what we were spending on materials with X suppliers. And if it went up 10% or 15% volume wise, not so much their prices, but we would contact them and get the entire list of everything that we purchased for the year. And then basically just say to them, like, look, these are our goals for next year. And this is our trajectory. So if we're going to spend, you know, 20% more this coming year than we did last year, then we need to negotiate our pricing. Because a lot of times, and you guys know this, you've been in business a long time, a lot of times what, you know, obviously the list price you see in catalogs or whatever is always negotiable. I guarantee you that companies that are doing $10, $15 million a year and spending, you know, whatever percentage on materials, they're getting a much better price than the shop that only spends $250,000 a year. But it doesn't mean if you're not growing and spending more that you can't negotiate that number with your suppliers. So hopefully, you know, people that are, you know, listening will, you know, will talk to their suppliers, and they're always, maybe they're not always happy to lower their price, but they're always happy to talk to you. I mean, because they have the same problems we do, right? Like they have customer retention problems, and it's a lot cheaper for them to keep you as a client than it is to go out and find 5 more sign shops to buy supplies from them. So anyway.
I'm going to loop Kevin in on something. So best practices and lessons learned. I picked a question. Have you found anything that consistently reduces rework or production mistakes? And Kevin, I know you mentioned that as a goal for 2026. So is there anything that you toyed around with from a production perspective? Because I have a perspective from a design perspective, but that's a little different, you know? So do you have anything that you're currently using to kind of reduce those errors?
Just chewing people out for, no, I'm trying. about a year ago, because, you know, I'm a remote employee, so to speak, you know, and I spend that hour or two every day doing scheduling. I sit back here a lot of times and I don't even know what the jobs are, you know, and I don't know who the customers are, and there's a lot of head scratching. So for up until about roughly about a year ago, I guess, we were having twice a week, biweekly meetings on Zoom. Eats up a lot of time. My guys, when we were busy, hated it because they felt like it was a waste of time. I don't know whether or not all the combined labor hours, lost labor hours, you know, help. But when we go through every single job that we're quoting and we go through every single job in pre-production and in production and installation, and every employee is sitting there saying, you know, hey, by the way, I've not ordered this, or, you know, that's in the same town as this. We could go do that while we're there, and those kind of things. It really feels like we're making less mistakes. And this last year, I just told everybody, I was like, it just felt like a hard year. We just really didn't, you know, we ended up having like a 9% increase in our sales, but it was hard. And we made a lot of mistakes and we missed the mark in a lot of areas. And I think that's the reason for us. Plus, it gives my guys, who a lot of times tend to compartmentalize themselves and work alone, it forces them to be around a table, and they don't necessarily all like each other. And so it forces them to be around a table with me as the moderator. And so they're minding their P's and Q's. We lost that because we lost the meeting room that we had. And that has to do with me trying to come up with a place to stay when I go to Tennessee to visit the shop, which I, you know, about every other month. But we lost that. So we're going to be redoing an employee break room in the very near future, so that we can get our little meeting aisle set back up and have our meetings again.
Tammy, do you have any input on that? I know it's also not a question that you signed up for, but I think it's one that a lot of people, you know, need the answers for. And you guys have unique perspectives being remote from your businesses.
Couple things. Yeah, we definitely having some more space. We needed more space. We were just on, everything was just too on top of each other. So we branched out and took over another 1,500 square feet of the building that we had that was rented to someone else. And we said, okay, we need it now, which was a good thing. So that helped a lot, just to be able to have, you know, really segmented departments, and less chaos. And also, you know, I always feel like I talk about Sign Tracker and I'm not trying to, but that really helps too, because just because it has everything segmented so much that everybody kind of knows where to look. So it takes away the guesswork of, like, you know, who made this mistake or why it was made. You can identify it very quickly because, you know, every column you can see what's happening and there's notations on every single job. So if there is a mistake, I know exactly why it happened. So that helps too. You're at least having some type of central software that can help you organize. Makes a big difference, I think.
Interesting. So I'm not too dissimilar than both of you, really. I mean, even though we are a design studio that it really just works in the sign industry, We're not doing a whole lot different. So we do production meetings. Those happen once a week, same time, same day, every week. We're all remote employees. So similarly, we had to find a way to make us feel connected, but then also all be on one page, you know, the same page for every project, because working remote or working in your silo is what causes mistakes. So we make sure that everyone knows, you know, what's going on with every project. And then the other thing that we do is, obviously we have Sign Tracker. You know, we use Sign Tracker. We also use Monday.com we use both. But both of those tools help us organize everything and make sure everything's in its, you know, proper stage and the right person's communicating the right information. And then lastly, we require lots of signatures on everything. Just approved stamps, approved signatures. This is what we're building. This is, you know, all of that. So not too dissimilar. And then the other one in this section that we both Kevin and I selected for questions is, how did you keep your team motivated through the busy seasons? And I was actually going to throw a wrench in this and ask, how did you keep your team motivated through the busy and the slow seasons? Because I think both take different levels of motivation.
Or how about, how do you keep your team motivated? Period.
Period.
Yeah, and it's kind of just a continuation of the smart sheet theme, and I know that that's not our goal here, but because when we're having those meetings and we're using smart sheet and everybody sees the big picture, it really helps our guys to understand when I pull up that dashboard and they see how many jobs that we have, and we see, you know, they see how many quotes that we have. And they're able to see that little bar chart, and the thing that I always use, the mind picture, if you will, that I use is like, if you've ever watched little kids play soccer, you know, like 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, you know, wherever the ball is, they're all around that ball. And that's what we tend to do at our shop because we're so small. Everybody is kind of cross trained and wears a lot of hats. So if we've got, you know, 40 quotes and we've only got 40 jobs, then we, because normally we want to have about 15 quotes and about 75 jobs. And so if we've got the same amount of quotes as we do jobs, everybody gets tasked with going and doing quotes. And so the way that I really motivate them is help them understand the big picture. I do a lot of communicating, which is what I've been doing when we're not having these meetings that we normally had. I've had instead call the employees consistently. And, you know, and keep saying, hey, I need you to look at what we've got coming up this week, you know, and then I will ask them two things. One, you know, what do you think we need to do? And I will try to turn it on them and say, can you come up with a way that we can make this happen? And then I give them the ownership of it, even though about 50% of the time I disagree. I'll just swallow my pride and say, you know, well, let's go do it, you know. And when I say we, I mean them, because I'm in Florida. So but the other thing I do ask them is, how can I help? You know, what do you need to make this happen? If they go, I really need this person's help, or I really need you to call these three customers for me, I don't have time, you know, and those kind of things. So those are the two things that I do.
All right, Liz, do you want to jump in on how you keep your team motivated?
No, I think Kevin rounded it out nice.
Okay. That was really good. That was really good, Kevin. I like that a lot, actually. And it's, you know, it's an ego check too, right? Like, you got to kind of put that aside for a second and say, hey, I get it. If what they're choosing is going to burn your building down, okay, fine. Maybe you have to say, no, that's not gonna, that we can't do it that way. But to give them the room to grow as a human, right? And as a worker and take on some leadership and responsibility. That's awesome that you do that. Mindset. And this is, before we close, this is our last section. So growth mindset and leadership. And so I think this, you know, when I was thinking about questions around this topic, I think, you know, I struggled with this a lot the first few years I was in when I owned my own shop, because I was still young. You know, I was in my early 30s when I started my sign shop, and I had this, you know, this sense that, oh, my employees should like me. And, you know, and it's not that, I mean, you want your employees to respect you and like you, but I think, you know, you can achieve those things by being a strong leader and helping them grow. Like, I think some of the things you said, Kevin, were pretty amazing. So, and Tammy too. What's the best mindset shift you made as an owner or a leader this year, if you have examples for this year? But
yeah, I think this year was the year. So we had to make an adjustment to our team this year. And that's not something we do easily. And it's not something we do without a lot of thought. You know, the people on our team, we're such a small team. And I know it's so gross to say this now. Like, I know people hate this, but we are a family. Like, we our families with their families. Like, we love all of them equally, and it becomes a very personal relationship. But this year we had to, you know, shift our mindset to understand that even though we love these people and everything, if there is a person who's not pulling their weight, or if there's a person who's making the rest of the team have to do more than their fair share, then we're doing a disservice to everyone else by not adjusting our team. So this year we had to kind of make that mindset shift, and though it was really hard, definitely was the right thing to do. So.
Mm-hmm. And it hurts your customers. It hurts the business. That was, for me, that was absolutely the hardest mindset shift that I had to make in all the years that I have owned small businesses, is that, if one person's not carrying their weight and you've given them ample opportunity to be successful, the tools, the talks, you know, whatever, and they don't do it, it's the damage that it's causing to the others on the team.
Absolutely. And that was the shift for us, right? That was the shift of looking at it through the lens of everyone else, instead of just saying, oh, we love this individual and everyone loves this. You know, it's like, instead of looking at it through that and, oh, we just need to work with them harder and harder and harder. It's like, okay, well, at what point do you shift your mindset to say, oh, they might really like him, but also, you know, is he doing a disservice? Are they doing a disservice to the rest of the team? Are we doing a disservice to the rest of the team? Because they're overwhelmed because they're having to pull more than their weight, you know.
I hate firing people. Work by myself now, so now I can only fire myself. I mean, Elizabeth would probably fire me every other day, I suppose, right, Liz? Would you?
I'll fire you right now if you want.
She's going to hire you just so she can fire you. One thing I've had to do a lot this year is just ask myself how all in I am. Because as you face things like, you know, when you're growing in your gross sales financially, then you need more money, you know, to make more money, and you have to be willing to do certain things. And so there's a lot of times I've had to just stop and say to myself, are you all in? Like, are you going to get over the fear part of maybe, you know, being in higher numbers than you ever imagined, in a sense, but like, sometimes it can be scary and daunting, you know? And so I had to say, you know, answer that question. And the answer is yes. And I've always been a solutions person, but I've really tried to take the anxiety that comes, and instead of feeling the anxiety and get letting it overwhelm me, just pivoting quickly to solutions. Like, if cash flow is tight, find a way to relieve it. If employees leave, hire new ones. Like, instead of just getting caught up in the every little thing, because there's always going to be problems and there's always going to be things that come at you as an owner. But solutions has been my big thing. Just trying to pivot that mindset to just immediately try to find answers. And that's helped me a lot, because I don't feel like I'm carrying the weight of it as much, because I'm just looking for solutions. And by whatever level of business I'm at, okay, what are we going to do about this one? You know, so that's helped a lot.
I mean, that sounds like big personal growth too. Like, that's a decrease in stress levels. If
yes.
You can learn to taper your reaction, right? And how
right.
You react. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and trust yourself,
saying about
and trust
people,
yourself too, right?
Yeah. Trust your own instincts. And like you were saying about people, staff leaving, like, it used to wreck me because I cared so much about people and I would take it so personally and feel so bad. And I'd literally get on a plane and be like thinking the whole place was coming down, because I just am all about harmony. You know, that's just that's my DISC style, is I love everybody to be happy. And so anyway, I've learned that, you know, it happens. You know, you can't make everybody happy, and just do your best, you know, do the best you can with what you've got.
You can't be pizza. You can't make everyone happy.
You just can't. Yeah. So, you know, and that's okay. Pizza is a wonderful thing. Now I want a slice. Thanks. Yeah. So that's been a big
awesome. Hit. So is there any, I know you had selected the question, where did you grow the most personally in 2025? Would you say that that was it, or was there something else?
Yeah, I think that was definitely the biggest thing. And I think fear, which limits growth, like that fear of whatever you're facing, you know, or insecurity that maybe you have, like, you know, and identifying it and being like, okay, this isn't even really a valid thing, because it's just, you know, it's just something that's hindering me. So yeah, all of that together has been definitely the biggest growth mindset for me. And it's funny, I was looking into the, you know, the scaling aspect of my business for this upcoming year. And I was talking with somebody online who does a lot with businesses with scaling. And they said to me, you know, you really need to surround yourself with high performing, you know, multi-million dollar companies and CEOs and start learning from them. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, I can try to do that. And it was funny, like, not too long after that, a really good friend of mine who's also a business owner, businesswoman, has multiple practices that she's in. We sat down and we created this 12-person group that we're starting January 2026, just monthly meetings and just kind of all different segments. You know, some are financial CFOs, some are, you know, accountants, like just different things, just to try to start to help each other in the areas that maybe we feel a little bit of fear in or insecurity in. So, so that we can scale.
Yeah. And I think the thing about groups like that too, and we definitely encourage people to get into, mentor groups. Yeah, for sure. And I remember I didn't really do that much when I owned my business. And I think a part of it was I didn't feel like I brought a lot to the table. And so I had to get over that. And I did get into a mentoring group like that with SignTracker. And because I really, you know, made the shift from, talk about poop in your pants. I mean, making the shift from just owning a brick and mortar sign shop to like, how am I going to scale a software company? And I ended up getting into a mentor group. And the more I showed up and shared, the more I started to realize that, man, I bring a lot to the table here too. And so, yeah, anyway, that's good.
Look what you've done with SignTracker. Like, it's pretty amazing, you know? So,
yeah. Well, SignTracker is in really good hands now too, which is pretty exciting. Okay. So, Liz, I'm on growth mindset and leadership. I forgot. Okay. So guys, we'll close this section with one last question. Kevin, since you jumped on this one, what are you most excited about for the future of your shop?
I am, you know, at a point where my wife is less than a handful of years from retiring teaching. The mindset shift that I made for this year was I started, you know, thinking about retirement planning and an exit strategy and what that looks like. And coincidentally, I've had like four people approach me about buying my company in the last 6 months. And it's just all out of the blue. And so it's kind of made me really get serious about that. And so I am probably most excited about, you know, trying to think of the best way to say this. I realize that there's a lot of growth potential for my company. And I purposefully keep it pressed down. You know, we just got through with all the numbers, like I said, for our year end. And once again, and it's this, I mean, within 1% of this every year, 83% of our sales came from repeat customers. And we don't do any marketing or anything like that. And so, you know, I really want to make sure that we take care of those, you know, 60 or 70 customers really, really well. And so I realized that if we get too much going on, my guys can't do that. They'll get overworked. Plus, I'm worried about them being overworked and quitting because I don't want to have to start trying to hire people when I'm in the last season of my business. So I really look forward to trying to find either a partner who's going to come in and take over the majority of the company or, you know, selling it. And even if I do that, I'm assuming I've got to carry some paper. And so I'm really looking forward to helping the new owner, you know, and mentor them and have a purpose in that and help them and then just watch this. Because I really think easily it could double, you know, within 2 or 3 years. And I just don't really have the desire or the passion to do that. You know, I don't. That would require me to go back, you know, to Tennessee and my wife to quit her job and things like that, that we just don't want to happen. So that's what I'm most excited about is just, you know, what things look like in the future.
It is a big step. And, you know, for the next owner, you know, you've built a foundation for someone to scale it to the next level. And it's okay. It's okay if you've made a great living at it and you've taken it to where you feel comfortable and then to be able to sell it and know that the system's in place, know that there's people in place and 85% of your customers are repeat customers or 83%, whatever you said. I mean, that's a big asset. And for somebody to come in that wants to take it from there, you've already, you know, set them on a really great trajectory. That's for sure. Okay. So we're going to close this out. You guys have been awesome. And I hope whoever's listening to this behind the science community that the wisdom that has been shared will help you for 2026. So all three of you chose question 19 and with Kevin and Tammy, you know, also it'd be great. I know Tammy, you mentioned a little bit about Freedom Solutions, but as you're answering this question, it would probably be great to share a little bit about how you help people that way. And Kevin, I know you have a project you're working on that is also very helpful to people, so feel free to share. But what's something you're most proud of but rarely talk about? So Liz, I'm going to start with you.
Or for me personally, I think that for as high of a profit margin that we run our business at, and as we just have no debt, none. And that's, it's rare in a lot of industries. We just don't operate with any debt. We never have. We've always just kind of bootstrapped it. So that's not always easy to do, and it's not something you have a lot of opportunity to talk about, but we've grown very strategically. And it sounds like, Kevin, you've done the same. You know, we've maintained a level consistently as we've grown. We've just kept it at a level that we know we can maintain the quality. And so we've been able to do that without going into any debt.
All right, Kevin, why don't we shift to you? And what's something you're proud of, but rarely talk about? And then also, I would love to have you share some of the projects that you're working on too.
Well, it's people that I'm proud of. I'd like to say that it's my fishing abilities, and but it's the people, and really, you know, I've got them just ticked out here real quick. But basically, my family, you know, I've had multiple businesses and have known lots of business owners, and it's just hard to say it. I mean, maybe unkind to say it, but some spouses are not built for their spouse to own a business. And mine is. And she's always been supportive. Even when, you know, we had to sell our house in order to keep our business open and make payroll, you know, and move into one of our tiny rental homes. And as we took on more and more businesses and things like that, my boys were always understanding. And, you know, I'm just really proud of them for being that, because I've witnessed with some of my friends that own businesses that struggle of where they don't have that family support. My employees, for sure, because I've got one guy that's been working for me now for 32 years. But, you know, my business partner as well, he's been there 25 years. So, yeah, my employees and that guy, man, I mean, I think our greenest employee has been there 7 years. Yeah. And so it's just we wouldn't be able to be as successful as we are if it wasn't for them. And I definitely don't brag on them enough.
Emmett, Kevin. Now I look like an asshole.
But anyway, you asked me to share. So I'm a man of faith, and I've done some things here in our town with my church. And we have to name it some kind of little cute thing at our church. It's a group we call Bible for Bosses. And, we meet and not all of them are business owners in that group. But we meet, and they're varying types of businesses. And we don't talk about operational kind of stuff. We talk about the relational kind of things, that comes in like family and employees and different things like that just are the harder parts, you know, the soft parts of running a business. And if that makes sense when I say soft and hard in the same sentence. But anyway, so I'm wanting to do something just with sign business owners, similar, because one of the Bible for Bosses classes that we have, or I say class, it's not a class, it's just like a prayer group more than anything else, accountability group. And, but I'm wanting to do something that's just sign business owners only. And so I'm going to be basically fielding different folks saying they want to be a part of that. And I'm hoping to kick it off at the beginning of the year.
Keep us posted on that, because I know there are a lot of people of faith in the behind the signs community that would probably love. And it's hard when you have, because you know the sign business, right? There's sometimes it feels like there's a sign shop on every corner, for crying out loud, and they're your competitors, you know. So how do you, hey, let's get together? It's like praying for your football team to win. You know, I'm like, I'm going to get together with Bob, the sign shop owner down the street, but I'm going to really do my best to get a lot of clients.
I get it.
So it'd be nice. Like, there's a safety thing around being able to be in, especially if it's a virtual, if you're thinking virtual groups, right? Because you can get on and, yeah, because then they can be in different regions and not feel like, you know, they're sharing something that might be used against them. And you'd like to think that no one would do that, but people do it.
Yeah. But I'll set something up on my website, which is kevinmcbroom.com, that I set up, you know, way back when I wrote a book. And so, it'll be there on the homepage. And if somebody's interested in that, then go to kevinmcbroom.com and there'll be something on there that says Bible for Bosses and click on that and they can just put in there that they're interested.
Okay. That sounds good. We'll put that in the notes too. And Kevin, when you go live with your first meeting, keep us posted because we'd like to share that. So, Tammy.
So, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of, Kevin a little bit with what I'm proud of. Definitely super proud of my kids. They're always there to help me with, just being sounding boards, even financially. Sometimes they've like done loans to the business because they're all very successful. And, I'm super proud of them and everything that they've accomplished. But I also, my staff is what I don't talk about enough. Just the fact that they all care so much and really take such ownership. Like I'll call with like, oh, you want to add some equipment and do this? And they're like, well, and they'll really like look at it like from a business owner perspective sometimes when I'm the one trying to like, you know, I get excited about something and they're like, well, I don't know if we should, like, they just take so much ownership in a good way, you know, and they really care. And I couldn't do it without them. I mean, I couldn't be living here and I love it here so much and doing what I'm doing if they weren't as dedicated as they are. And they really are. So what I'm looking forward to this year is to just show that appreciation even more. Like I do things for them as much as I can, but I'm definitely going to ramp it up this year. And I'm excited about it just because I just really, every one of them, like, you know, and I'll ask like, hey, you want to do something with Reels to one of the newer guys? And he's like, he just took it over and has started having so much fun with it and doing a great job. So my goal this year is to really just, you know, give back to them and thank them. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I do follow you on Facebook too. So I see all your Reels and stuff. They're pretty good.
Oh yeah. He's been doing a good job with it. Yeah, absolutely. Really good. He's very creative. Yeah. It's one of my installers. So, and he's newer to the company, but he's great. He does a great job. So as far as, Freedom Solutions, yeah, I started that about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And I really started it by calling you, Joe, and saying, does anybody help people set up this software? Because it's been a game changer in my business. That's allowed me to live here and see everything that's going on. I've only been to Vermont once this year, but I can still have a beat on everything that's happening. And, you know, and you were like, not really. So that's kind of what started it. And, you know, I really didn't want to grow it that fast because I had a lot of work I was already working on and a lot of things, you know, with my company and with some real estate stuff that I do. And so I was kind of like, you know, well, I'll just see what happens. But my goodness, has it taken off? Like this last year, you know, a lot to have to do with, I have to thank Craig and Brooke and you because I've gotten so many referrals. And I mean, I was just typing up a list of some of the places I've been this year and it's been crazy, like really busy. I've been going to different sign shops and working with the owners and their team, setting up Sign Tracker, working on the quoting templates on the back end, but also helping them create systems that flow in their shop from job intake to job completion and then kind of having Sign Tracker emulate that. And so I've loved it. I've loved meeting some really neat people. I've met a ton of cool people and their families and their staff. And I really like helping try to like reduce the stress because I understand what that feels like when you're so stressed out. And so it's been a really fun, rewarding job and I've really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but great stuff, but I will say to both of you, thank you so much for giving back right to the industry. And Kevin, with the support that you're getting ready to start on the spiritual side, which is, I mean, mind, body, spirit, right? We all need that. I need to meditate more. Absolutely. And then Tammy, with your doing, just helping folks to organize to the point where they can see that it's sustainable, right?
Right.
Without going nutso. So,
yeah.
And Elizabeth, exactly. I'm always so grateful to you for putting up with my poop all the time.
All the time, guys.
And I'm getting better technically with things, right?
Yes.
Good answer.
I think so. From the first time we started doing podcasts, I think you've got, remember you used to fidget in your chair a lot. You don't do that anymore.
Well, that's because I get rid of my bouncy ball. I actually have a stool. I have a stool.
We teach them out the bouncy ball.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to use the bouncy ball, but I did it's get a okay. stool that emulates a bouncy ball. So I can turn. I'm just not a regular chair person. So, but anyway, well, you guys are You guys are great, and we really appreciate it. It's kind of a cool way to close out the year and sharing all of your wisdom and success with everybody. And please stay in touch with us as your projects continue to grow. And we will put all this stuff, obviously, in the show notes so that people know how to get a hold of you. So anyway, thank you. Thank you very much.